Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. And to my left,
it's me.
I'm Bryce Armstrong.
And to my forward front,
it's Andrew McKinley. And to my left,
Brett Welty. And to my left,
Jim Cole.
Here we are again.
That was weird. The fastest.
Why did we do that?
Weird that we didn't do anything weird.
That was weird. That was weird. I was waiting for someone to do
something. And here we are. It's once again, starting a new series.
Based on an old series.
Yeah. Very exciting. We're not going to tell you how we are because that's none of your business.
And I'm a little embarrassed that you asked this.
My name is Andrew, middle name redacted McKinley.
James.
Is it a joke?
It's not like Joseph?
Close.
Let's all guess.
I already know what I'm not going to say.
Jim Wire.
It does start with a J.
Okay.
Shapiro?
Close.
Okay. Jimothy.
Andrew Jehoshaphat.
Jehovah?
Whoa.
Ooh,
well, hippie parents.
That would be weird. But I could see that, though. Maybe. Andrew, you have an intro for us?
I do.
This is so weird.
It's so weird.
What's so weird?
I don't know. We're just...
We don't talk much anymore.
We're actually excited about this topic.
We don't talk anymore.
We just really don't want to reveal our lives
because more things are going to probably come out about it. And
what?
We're going to be prepared for it. All the scandals.
If there's a scandal that comes out about your life and we don't know about it first.
Is it me?
It's me. Oh, it's me.
We'll find out pretty quick.
I'm actually leading two other secret lives.
I think I need
both
to
of
go.
Which were
Jim's uncomfortable. I'm out.
Oh, you know, I think I need to leave.
You guys seem to be doing okay. I'm gonna just go.
No, Jim, don't leave.
No,
we
Jim.
Need you here
to keep us in line for at least.
I told you that earlier. You're the glue.
Oh yeah.
Oreo cookies, white stuff.
Yes.
That's your new nickname.
White stuff.
Some white stuff.
That makes sense.
He's actually going to call you that.
You guys want to do some trivia?
Yeah.
Always.
Trivia about what?
Is it about animals?
No.
Oh, good, because I love animals.
Is it about marsupials?
That is an animal. Or group of animals. So this show should be coming out a couple days after Mother's Day. So we're going to do some Mother's Day trivia.
Whoa.
Your mom.
Goes to college.
Is a mother. We will be celebrating her on Mother's Day.
That's good.
You're right.
So is my wife.
Your mom.
She is also a mother.
So is my dad.
Yes. He is a single mother.
That's insulting to your actual mother.
I love my mom. I think she listens. Oh. She would love that joke.
Mm. Okay, good.
I think.
All right. Hope.
We'll find out in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Please, mom. I need my inheritance.
All right.
I need my inheritance.
Which president established Mother's Day?
Nixon.
I'll give you three options. Taft, Wilson, or Jefferson?
Nixon.
That is not one of the three.
Wilson.
No, Wilson didn't do anything good.
Wait.
I don't know. Taft.
Yeah, I think it's Taft.
It was Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, one thing. Okay. Sorry. I retract that.
Or Mother's Day isn't that good.
I wouldn't say that.
That's hot take.
Woodrow Wilson.
Does your wife listen to this?
Woodrow Wilson's a terrible human being. Who knows it?
We all love our moms.
That's not what I said.
He was.
I'm standing by what I said originally.
He was a terrible person.
I don't know anything about him.
Kind of a dope name, but that's about all he had going for him.
That's all you get.
All
right.
Go and get.
Question two. Which flower is traditionally given the most at Mother's Day?
Daisies. Roses.
No.
We're both wrong.
Darn it. You want the options?
Oh, yes,
there's options. Some options. There's
carnations, roses, or arthuriums.
Well, I don't know what the last one is.
Carnations.
It's the first one.
It's carnations.
I said roses. I take it back. Carnations.
It's too late. You already got it wrong.
According to the old proverb, what is the mother of invention? Creativity, out of the box necessity. Thinking, or necessity?
Necessity.
Yes, it's necessity.
Did you look at his phone?
No, I know that one.
That's a phrase.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Only smart people know things. So.
No, that's not just for smart people. You can have it too. What is the other name for mother of pearl? It's a physical substance. It's found in oysters.
Oh.
It's not the pearl. It's called mother of pearl, but what is its other name?
The clam. It's a clam.
Just clam.
It births the pearl.
I've got a bottle of clam.
I swing on swing.
I have no idea.
Nacre.
No, so yeah, I would have not. Okay. Well,
who would know that?
How come there weren't options for that one?
It's just a question.
That's the one that we didn't get multiple choices.
Right. Nacre.
Yeah, Nacre. Okay. Which scientist won two Nobel Prizes and then was also the mother of a Nobel Prize winner? Your options are
Marie Curie,
Bertha Suttner, Marie Curie.
Definitely Bertha.
Or Selma Lagerlöf.
I stand by what I said. The only name I would say.
You are correct.
Marie Good job, Curie. Brett.
She had two Nobel Prizes.
And then, died of radiation.
And then her.
She did her seven radiation. Didn't know how bad it was.
Sorry, I have to actually look this one up.
That's a first.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Wow.
I'm just making this up, by the way.
I believe it's her son and his wife won Nobel Prizes, and then.
Yeah, but they're in like literature or something.
No, her daughter and her daughter and son-in-law won Nobel Prizes, and then her other daughter's husband won a Nobel Peace Prize. So they have like five Nobel Prizes in the family. Because some people just overachieving.
I was going to say,
you'd hate
to be the third kid in that family, wouldn't you?
There was a third kid. We don't know his
name. Obscurity. Living in obscurity.
Which actress is the stepmom in the film Stepmom? Jennifer Aniston, Susan Sarandon, or Julia Roberts?
Jennifer Aniston.
What movie is that?
Stepmom.
Yeah, what movie is that?
It's got
Ed Helms in it, and it's got Jennifer Aniston as a stepmom.
Cool.
I've never seen it.
Never heard of it.
Is that true? Julia Roberts.
I missed it. It's always confident, sometimes right.
This is back when like it was still weird to get divorced like 30 or 40 years ago. And a little weird. And it was
Ed Helms is not that old.
Yeah, I was staying the wrong movie.
Well, Susan
Sarandon plays the ex-wife, and then Julia Roberts plays the new wife. And
it's a generation off.
They end up being friends.
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 What is the most popular gift purchase for Mother's Day?
Flowers,
cards, or clothes?
Flowers.
Flowers.
I'm going to go cards because you're always going to give a card with a flower.
But is it purchased? Those are made a lot. Andrew's face just told me I'm wrong.
It is cards.
Logic.
You got
because lots of kids forget. And then all they do is go get a card.
That makes sense.
All right. Kate Hudson's mom is also a famous actress.
Goldie Hawn.
Okay, I don't even give the options.
Got you guys.
Is this just like, hey, Brett, what crap do you know today?
About, I don't know. It's a weird
about
day.
Moms. He's an expert on moms.
It's a weird day.
Wow.
In Greek mythology, who is the mother of the Olympian gods and goddesses? Oh my gosh.
I don't think that's
Gaia, right. Athena, or Rhea?
I'm going to go with Athena.
Rhea.
You say no?
No, it's not Athena. It is Rhea.
Athena's the only one I know.
Brandon is right.
Finally.
Though, I mean, in the Greek pantheon, being your own mom is not out of the question.
Oh, yes, that is true.
That's the thing. But yeah, it's Rhea.
That is true.
I would have thought Hera being Zeus's wife, but no.
Rhea? I love that movie.
Yeah,
Rhea. The one with the last dragon?
Yep. That's a good one.
I can think of Rio.
Oh, I like that one too.
About the pirates?
With the dead guys?
I thought it was a salamander.
Yes, we're just gonna.
Oh, that's the one about the turtle with Adam Sandler.
We're gonna just traffic in misinformation this whole episode. Just complete misinformation.
In several parts of the world, Mother's Day is known as Fête de Mère.
Fat? What?
Is that
French?
Is that French, Dutch, or Italian?
French.
French.
Oh my God.
French.
You know, I knew. I knew it was. I was gonna say I knew it was French because the way Brandon reacted to it. I was like, I can tell it's French.
I got bad goosebumps.
They actually invert. He's full of pits. Little tiny.
That
little tiny holes.
So strange. I don't know what to do with myself.
I'm gonna throw up.
You have a pill for that?
Which mother was famous for taking care of the poor in India?
Oh,
Mother Teresa.
That's right. No. Bryce, you got one.
Yes.
Yay.
That was too easy.
Yeah. Shut I don't up. Even get
got
the
one.
Don't he step might. On. He might get two.
He doesn't know any
he
other.
Might, he might get. He might get two. Oh. What is the name of Simba's mom in The Lion King?
Sarabha.
That's right. Yep.
Mufasa.
That's the dad.
He Only fed. In the new one.
We don't know that.
In the new one, they did that.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Scar? Turns out Scar wasn't even his brother.
Okay, true or false, Mother's Day is always on the same date
false.
Each year.
No.
False.
No.
That's right.
It's like Easter.
It's always the second Sunday, right? In the month in May?
Of Pentecost.
Yes.
Second Sunday of Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Wait, is it really?
No, it's just like you'd say in Lutheran church. Like, this is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost.
Without Pentecost, there wouldn't be
liturgical calendar.
Without.
That's a deep cut for our Lutheran friends.
Thanks, Lutherans.
The song Mamma Mia was a hit song by which pop group?
ABBA. Gross.
Almost. Not ABBA gross. Just ABBA.
Oh. Yeah, ABBA's gross. Sorry.
ABBA.
It's just pronounced ABBA.
Yeah, no, it's ABBA gross.
ABBA.
I think that's the sequel.
Or is it the Bee Gees?
No, it's ABBA.
It is ABBA.
Dead and right.
They made an entire musical off of...
Our final question. Oh, dang it. I already gave you the answer. The Mother's Day always falls on the second Sunday of May was the answer. So, yeah, I already said that. Sorry.
How dare you ruin that for everyone?
Yeah.
We're really hitting a stride there.
Yeah. We didn't hit anything. You...
I might hit Bryce.
Me too.
Just fine. For fun.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Do you have an awesome transition?
Do I ever?
Literally never.
I don't
Our
know.
Our transition
what
it is. Last time was hilarious.
Because it was bad, right?
It was so bad. Okay, it was Andrew. Wait, was it last time?
It's like, don't say far high, guys. What are you doing?
All right, so do we have a real transition? Or?
Never.
No, that was it, man.
That was it. We're in it now.
We're in it.
Oh,
we're in it to win it.
I bonked the mic.
Twang.
So, none of you heard it because I'm going to take it out and post.
Yeah. It was nice. It was fun. It was funny. That made me laugh.
And if you're a member, you can hear that on our website.
Yeah. On our Patreon.
Patreon's gone.
Is it gone?
Got rid of it.
Cool. Well.
Like the government got rid of Patreon.
We can talk about that later.
X.
I didn't. And we can talk about it later.
Talk about it later, yeah. But no.
Patreon's gone.
We saw Patreon out with another podcast.
Anyway.
Sheesh.
Andrew's ADHD can't keep me.
It's okay. It's bad. I got too much sleep.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
We are starting a new series. It'll look familiar to some of you that have been around since, what year was that, 2020, 2021?
It will not look familiar to them because it wasn't released.
Well, it's a couple of them were.
We released one.
Two of them.
Intro and Love.
Intro and Love.
Yeah, two of them.
Mm-hmm. Right, like I said, not going to look familiar at all.
Well,
it's true.
Fruits of the Spirit.
Uh-huh. We're doing gentleness?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, you did
the Fruits
of the Spirit.
But, like, at one
before.
Point, we said, hey, folks, we're doing the Fruits of the Spirit.
At one point in time, we said that.
And right now, we're saying, hey, folks, we're going to do the Fruits of the Spirit.
Yes. Again.
But this time, we're going to finish them.
We are going to finish it.
We're finishers now.
We are finishers.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah exactly.
Hey, no problem.
This series will look a little different. We're not going to go one by one. We're going to group them into five different episodes. So, this first episode will be covering self-control and gentleness. Next week will be goodness and faithfulness. The week after we'll be doing patience and kindness, joy, peace, and then we're going to end on love. So we're going to go backwards. I think we started before with love.
We did.
Well, with the intro, then we went to love.
Yeah.
But what I think there was one part with the seven deadly sins. I wish we would have ended on pride. Mm. Because pride puts it all, intertwines itself with all of them. And love intertwines itself with all of these fruits of the Spirit. And so I'm really excited to run through it. I think it feels like a breath of fresh air, at least for me, because we dealt with sin for 7 weeks. Oh, 8 weeks.
Eight, yeah.
So it'd be nice to kind of be like, hey, here's what takes place of that sin that we continue to kill in our life. There'll be a tagline to this series called Deep Roots in Dark Soil. We're going to be focusing on the idea of how the fruits of the Spirit cultivate over time. So kind of like when you plant a tree in the ground, and it eventually grows and it blooms new leaves every year, and we see the results of cultivating that growth. And so we want to keep that in mind when we start with these fruits of the Spirit. So I'm pretty excited. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Would you read the big block for me, Andrew?
I will.
Thank you.
We often imagine growth as something vibrant, visible, lush green leaves stretching toward the sun, fruit hanging heavy on the branch, a life in bloom. But real growth, the kind the Spirit cultivates in us, is quieter than that, slower, sometimes painfully so. It happens beneath the surface, in the soil of our everyday struggles, our waiting, our wildernesses. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something we pluck from the vine overnight. It's something grown in us, season by season, storm by storm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not goals to chase, but evidence of something deeper. A life tethered to the Spirit of God.
So today, we will be settling in on gentleness and self-control. And so, quiet strength is what we need. So, gentleness and self-control are often overlooked, but deeply transformative. Both are about power surrendered, not flaunted, directed, and not reactive. And so, in a world that prizes dominance and impulsiveness, the Spirit grows something better in us. And I think our culture pushes us to be a little bit more aggressive, to speak my truth rather than being slow to speak and slow to become angry. Being self-controlled is, I think, very countercultural, and it would help us probably stick out and be like, well, why aren't you reacting impulsively? Why aren't you overreacting to this situation that everyone else seems to be overreacting to?
If you care, why aren't you angry?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it bother you?
Yeah.
This should be bothering you.
You should be angry about this. You should be mad.
We feel like our reckless emotion towards a certain topic can be more, more of like passion. Like we feel like we're passionate about something, so we feel like we should not have self-control maybe on our tongue. We just say what we want and not really think about the consequences of what we do and what we say.
Well, I think passion makes it easier to be reckless. When you feel strongly about a topic or a cause or something like that, then having a goal makes you more willing to push, I think. And so it can lower your threshold for holding back.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the fruit of the Spirit is that it doesn't matter what our personality type is like. I think that's the hardest thing about the fruit of the Spirit. Is like, well, I'm this way, so I don't have to be gentle. Like, I think of people that are, I just really believe in truth, or I really believe that I need to say this or that, and if, I don't care who knows it, they need to hear it. And that's really, I think, popular in all circles, especially Christian circles, where it seems like when truth is on attack, like we just can go no holds barred. We just throw hands. We just need to deal with it. But you can't get around texts like gentleness. And I think of 2 Timothy 2 that says, The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. So even if we're correcting someone, we need to be gentle. And so it's just what we're supposed to be. And it just, what's crazy to me about gentleness is it seems so obvious from the Bible, and yet it seems like no one talks about it anymore. Mm. Like, it's just okay to fight fire with fire. It's okay to treat the world however the world's been treating us. Gentleness and kindness can go out the window because we're in a fight for truth. And I'm looking at these texts and I'm thinking, it doesn't seem to be the way we're supposed to fight. Am I missing something?
No. I mean, Jesus went to the cross not fighting.
Mm-hmm. That's a great text. That's, though he was not reviled, though he was reviled, he did not revile in return, mm-hmm. entrusting himself always to the one who judges all things justly. 2 Peter 2, or 1 Peter 2.
Even when all the people and the prisoners were mocking him, he asked God to forgive them.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Jesus.
Yeah, that's Jesus.
But
that's our model.
That's our example.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, again, we still have texts that are just, it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense where it turned.
You hear things like, they need to know their sin, right? Mm. When in reality is I'm giving myself permission to attack them.
Mm.
And then, you know, the conversation ends and I can walk away and say, I did my part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not doing your part. You're just
there it is.
You're just being a jerk.
I heard someone once describe it as you can't plant a seed till you poke a hole.
Oh.
And it's like,
come on.
And I mean,
weak sauce.
Yeah. They've deconstructed, I think, since then. I don't think that they're involved in the church. I think they were, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, not great advice.
No.
No, no, no. That's a.
Jim's thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to use that though.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just thinking, I'll poke a hole.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take long talking to somebody and you can start to figure out, hey, they got some issues.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right?
That's mm-hmm. true with all
the time.
Of us.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
So I need to tell you about it.
You don't have the freedom to vent at them and yell and get your rage out on them.
Mm. Yeah. What's this going to solve except for you feeling better?
It's like, you know what yourself? This person needs before they hear the gospel from me? To be on the defensive. Yeah. I think that would be great. That'll really help them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is all great, and I agree with it, but so what does it like actually look like when we... So how do we balance being gentle and kind? And I know we don't want to talk... I mean, kindness is coming, but gentleness... How is gentleness not being a doormat? How is being meek not being a doormat? How do we do that without just saying, I'm going to sin and let this guy have it because he needs it, and then I'll go back to being gentle once this guy gets his comeuppance?
Yeah. Well, I mean, true gentleness isn't weakness, it's strength under control.
Yeah, you sent that. I think I posted that today. Yeah. Brandon sent me something for our socials and just posted something from his Substack, and that's a great quote because it is such strength to be gentle, because you can, I mean, it's love. All this is going to come back to love every time. But yeah, it's just, it's loving the
thinking
people.
Love.
Yeah. It's stinking love. Loving people. And with that love, man, oh my goodness, the things that the Lord can use us for.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think gentleness gets cultivated through grief and through humility. Like, grief can challenge us to like lash out in our pain. And when we're humbled by somebody or when we are confronted with truth, that makes us more introspective. I think that grows and like, okay, there's something in me that I need to like keep in check. I need strength to not respond, and it's like, it's not comfortable. It's not easy to become more gentle when the world and our cultures around us push us to be more, maybe more aggressive than we ought. We all grew up in the church era. Like the modern church era of like, we've talked before about, Jim and I have talked before about the proclamation. It's more aggressive. It's not gentle. It doesn't come from a gentle spirit. And I just find more and more when we're more gentle, we're more approachable and people have more questions, and we feel that they might think we're more of a safe space for them to ask these bigger questions about life and their spiritual health, their spiritual thoughts. And I think, yeah, we need to cultivate more gentleness into our everyday lives, because we need it. And that points people back to Christ. Doesn't point it back to anything else.
Yeah, you know, when we enter conversations with our guns drawn, I think that comes from out of more pride, more maybe probably even to protect mm-hmm. ourselves a little bit, to approach it more in a topic or a situation more in a gentle fashion. We have to holster those guns, so we have to show some humility. We have to come willing to be vulnerable. And that becomes difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the topic of humility, because we in our culture we think of humility as a doormat. You know, I'm willing to be last in line, so therefore I'm humble. I think you missed the point completely. All right, you think of how important is humility in our relationship with God? Right, it's like paramount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
King David was a warrior, a man of blood, and God says he's a man after my own heart. So you study David, while you see this incredible warrior, you also see this man of humility who says, I need God, period. And I think we have to come from that, I need God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you need God.
Oh, I do. Need I mean, God. You're welcome to say that to me, Jim.
Yeah, make note that Jim was pointing at Brett. Brett, you had said, how do we not be a doormat while being gentle? Part of it, I think, is not caring when other people think you look like a doormat. Because a lot of times being gentle, other people are going to see it that way. But it's really then it just comes down to intent. You can let others go first. You can make a sacrifice for somebody that you don't really, that doesn't matter that much to you, you know, or someone who's being a jerk and take the high road. And they can walk away thinking that person's a pushover. And then at that point, you have to make the decision. Do I let them walk away thinking that because they are wrong about me right now and I don't want them to feel like they won because they haven't really? Or are you okay with letting them think that when in reality, your strength has just shown through and they just don't get it? Because I know that, like, for me, one of my biggest... It comes from a sinful root, but one of my biggest pet peeves is other people thinking that they've won when they haven't. Like they're like when someone like thinks they got me, and it's just something that like they're just actually not dumb. They're just too dumb to get it. like that makes me so mad, and I need to like it's a big thing for me to work on when like just like they think that they got me on this. They think they tricked me. They think they've taken advantage of me, and they haven't. But man, they think they did, and that just doesn't sit well with me. And I just want to go show them how wrong they are. And yeah, it's just you have to be okay with letting them feel that, and let them walk away with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So recently, kind of trying to tell this without too much context, a person had put a Buddha out in front of their lawn on there, all right? And I seen it a couple weeks ago, and I was there again in that area again today, actually, and it was gone. And I inquired about it, and it had been thrown away because too many people complained about it. And I'm thinking to myself, in a sense, she was attacked for her belief. So now this opportunity to step in with gentleness and self-control and enter into a conversation. For me, I looked at that and I seen an open door to talk to somebody. It's not something to get mad about. I'm not afraid of it. God's bigger than that. And I think this power under strength, or strength, what is it?
Strength and control.
Yeah. I think if we want to talk to people about Jesus, we have to walk in a gentleness. We have to approach it gently, right? Come with come remembering the humility, remembering that I have stuff that I have to work on, and I'm in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Aren't we all?
Right?
Mm. It's the log in the speck from Matthew 7. Mm-hmm. Take the log out of your own eye before you go and judge somebody else.
Yep.
And even, so that's another, okay, so as we're talking, I'm thinking about what I originally asked you guys, how do you do this without being a doormat? And I just remembered Galatians 6:1, which talks about, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. I love that text. I'd forgotten about it until we had been talking about this. But so again, if we're talking about not being a doormat, gentleness, so when we have a fellow believer that is, I like the language, caught in a transgression. I mean, how often is it that we as believers get caught in something and we don't think about it? It's like a bear trap. It's like you step on it and all of a sudden you're caught. And that sin can do that to us. And those of us who are spiritual don't come in saying, why would you ever? What kind of idiot gets stuck in a bear trap? Why would you ever walk there? Don't you know better than that? Like, that's not gentleness, humility. Because then it goes on to say, watch for yourself. It's like, be careful, dude. You're going to walk out of the same forest and you might find yourself stepping into the same bear trap, to continue the analogy. But then, and then what I really like here is when it says, test your own work and you'll boast in yourself and not in your neighbor, meaning don't compare yourself to your neighbor. Compare yourself to the standard you're supposed to compare yourself to, which is Christ. Or in Matthew 5, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So remember, it's a little humility. The standard is still perfection and you don't have it. I don't know. I just like that text a lot. Yeah, I think it helps. Remind us, you know, what is gentleness? Gentleness is, and what is love? I heard a definition. I think it was our pastor that said, love is defined as caring for another person, having care for another person. That definition is very easy to follow. Mm-hmm. How can I love my neighbor? To want good for them. It doesn't mean I have to like them. It doesn't mean I've got warm and fuzzies about them. But I can be loving and gentle because I understand what a sinner I am and how much grace I've received. I think gentleness is paying forward what Christ has given us. Mm-hmm. Just being gentle. Christ was gentle to us. Christ continues to be gentle to us. He doesn't smite us when we sin. He doesn't send us to hell the moment we take our first rebel breath. He gives us long-suffering and patience. So,
well, humility, it doesn't need to be loud or right or controlling. True gentleness flows from an awareness of our deep need for grace. So Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus invites us. He doesn't force us. And his gentleness brings rest and not pressure. So this shouldn't, he's not wagging the ruler or his finger at us, waiting for us to get to the peak level of gentleness. He's walking with us slowly, knowing that we're going to fall back and forth and in between being arrogant and harsh and rude and growing us in gentleness. So now, though we covered a little bit of gentleness, we can hit some self-control. And self-control is spirit-powered surrender. So it's about being led, not driven by impulse or emotion. And so true self-control is freedom. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control frees us to choose what matters most, not just what feels easiest. And so it helps us respond instead of react. And it grows in the quiet, and it's hidden in hidden places when no one is watching. This is a daily battle for all of us. This is a daily fight for all of us, is to be on our guard, to not react or overreact.
And no one sees how you're doing unless you're failing.
Mm-hmm.
like the bass guitar.
Only time.
It's like the bass guitar.
Yes.
You know, then you could look like the doormat, though, if you don't respond.
Yeah.
You know, you get some stuff thrown at you you didn't deserve, or was it your fault, and yet you're getting the blame to take a deep breath, you know, and say, okay, I'm going to go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. That's hard.
Very difficult. Well, so self-control grows in small decisions, like Jim gave an example of, but it's in pausing before a sharp reply or turning away from screens or anything that's going to numb your mind, or in choosing gentleness over sarcasm. Sometimes we poke at each other sarcastically, saying it's just a joke. But a lot of times there could be some truth behind what you're saying. Like, do you actually believe that about somebody? And so you make it as a joke. But maybe we don't say that at all. I'm an overly sarcastic person. And I know I cross the line sometimes with it. But I keep crossing it because it gets laughs. And it gets... And I'm like, well, people don't think I actually mean that. Right?
It gives you that opportunity to like soft confront somebody, and then gauge how they take it. And then, oh no, I'm just kidding, man. If they get mad, it's like, oh no, I was just messing.
Yeah.
There's a proverb that talks about that.
I'm sure off the top of my head. Brett's got something he's doing.
I don't. I was thinking about self-control is something that I think looks like the world can have. So somebody that is rigid with their diet or their health codes or how they parent their kids or their job. I think it looks like self-control, but the reality is that it is just a different kind of lack of control where your motives aren't right. And so just like when we talked about gluttony, how if, you know, there's 1,000 reasons why somebody might not be in the shape they want to be, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're gluttons. I think in the same way with self-control, it looks like, oh, that person's very disciplined. And that discipline must mean that they have some sort of spiritual fruit. But I don't think that's the level at which we should view self-control. I think we should be disciplined. I think that is a good byproduct of self-control, but that's not the end goal of self-control. The end goal of self-control is far deeper and more spiritually rich than just, am I meeting my health goals, my life goals, or whatever. We do need to be disciplined. That's not a one. That's not an either or. But just because your pastor is fit, I mean, some of them look like they're very fit, and they're not strong because they're lifting their Bibles.
Yeah.
You can be disciplined out of bad things just as easily as out of good fruit. Like, you can be disciplined because you're, like, I mean, there are people that are addicted to plastic surgery, or people that are addicted to
I'd have said out. The gym, but I see where you're going.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm moving down different tiers. So from the really bad to the stuff that kind of sneaks in.
Yeah.
People that are addicted to a certain kind of diet, then they don't really need to diet anymore, but
I'm addicted to my diet.
They don't see.
Eat whatever I want.
Yeah, delicious.
Delicious.
I mean, there are people that are, I mean, some of the most disciplined people are, and the most focused are because they're a sociopath, or they're the unsub on an episode of Criminal Minds. They're like someone who is like, oh, this person's highly intelligent and very focused, and they're killing people. And you can get discipline from that too. You know, it doesn't have to come from a good source like self-control.
I think when I think of strict regimens and what we would say is discipline or self-control, at least for me, when I'm trying to do these things, I'm trying to fill a gap that just won't get filled in my heart. I don't know if that's everybody, but I know for me, if I obsess, I'm a very obsessive person, and so I will cling to something, and it will be all I think about, all I talk about, all I want, and like I forget. I think a lot of people do. Like, I think I forget that no, God fills that hole for me. The Holy Spirit fills that for me. Not working out or podcasting or writing or music. God fills that hole. And if we are trying to put something else in where God belongs, we are missing the point of living for God. We can look and go to church and we'll see these, you need to get up and make your bed, work out, read 15 chapters of the Bible before 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, and you're like, man, I cannot meet that mark. I cannot make that mark. Most people cannot meet that mark consistently.
Who's this Mark guy? Keeps getting in trouble.
I don't know. But we just can't meet that.
Can't do it, Mark.
But we said, God, here, take this, please. I cannot do it. Give me the light yoke. I cannot handle this burden I am making for myself. I think that's part of humility, is recognizing your need for someone else to take the reins from you. That would mean you're gentle, because you're being humbled. And then I think we ask for more self-control. Like, God, help me to not spend that $5 extra every morning on an energy drink or something that is just self-gratifying.
$5 on energy?
It's getting close. It's like three. It's almost $4.
McDonald's and more.
I know. Ask God for self-control and the little things of life. And I think when we think of like the book Atomic Habits, we switch little things here and there. It changes the trajectory.
The book of what?
Atomic Habits, the book. But I think it can help change the trajectory where we end up. It's not a Christian book, but I think it has a very good it gives us good advice, because I think that's true.
It's not legalism or wrong to seek to be more disciplined in your life.
No,
it's not wrong to want to make choices that set us up for success and victory in the areas that we want. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 9 when Paul says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We have to fight to keep ourselves under control. We need... It's got to be important. Like 4 or 5 places in the New Testament, when Paul is describing the Christian life, he includes self-control. It's in Titus 2. It's in 2 Timothy 1. You know, I think it's one of the three things in 2 Timothy 1 where he says God gave us the spirit of power, love, and self-control. So it's very, very important. Part of our life is about being self-controlled and doing the right things and putting off the wrong things. And so... I think self-control is where the fight of faith really lives as Christians, is are we going to do these things? And I think just like love kind of permeates all of it, they're all like held up by self-control.
Yeah.
Self-control is choosing to be gentle, choosing to be kind, choosing joy, choosing peace, choosing patience, choosing to love. We need self-control to do that. Like, these aren't just, you know, 10 different vines with 10 different thoughts. It all comes together, and just as love permeates all of them, self-control holds all of them up. Like, it's without it, we don't have a fruit of the Spirit. Like, if the Spirit is in our lives, we should be becoming more self-controlled, controlling ourselves. And it's not let go and let God. It's take hold and go with God, because that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because if we just let it go, like all dead fish go with the current, easy. We're just not going. I mean. Yeah. This is a fight of faith. It is a fight. Mm-hmm. We spent eight episodes talking about the perniciousness of sin and how it's everywhere and in everything, and our motivations, our thoughts, our actions. Everything that we do is sinful. So everything we need is rooted in self-control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we often think of self-control as to abstain from eating another slice of pie. Or something along those lines.
I'm gonna eat that extra slice of
third
pie.
Sandwich at McDonald's.
Hey, I'm gonna eat that third sandwich to the glory of God.
But in a lot, what you were saying is self-control is also doing the things I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And spiritually speaking, what are the things I need to do? What do I need to step into? And self-control rarely comes because I want to. You know, mm-hmm. I want to eat that piece of pie, right? So self-control there says, no, I shouldn't. The other flip side of it is I'm really uncomfortable talking to people about Jesus, so I don't. Self-control says, I'm going to step into that space, and I don't let I don't let my fears or my desires rule, but instead I lean into the self-control.
I would also say, to go off of that, about self-control isn't just stop doing something, because then that creates a vacuum. Something has got to be done, which is why I think it's so amazing, like in Ephesians, when Paul says things like, put off the old man and put on the new man. It's not just put off the old, it's not just stop it, which is why I hate as a parent when I just tell my kids to stop it. It's not that helpful, because they're just going to start it again, or they're going to start something else. They're going to pour more gasoline out in the garage while everybody's supposed to be watching them. So self-control, I would say, is not just not what not to do. It is filling it with what should be done. So in Ephesians 4 or 5, I forget where, do not be drunk with wine, that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So don't be in a drunken stupor. Don't go through life without thinking, but take hold, be sober-minded, be filled with the Spirit, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have to, self-control is exactly what Jim said. It's taking hold of the things we're supposed to do, not just not doing other things. You can read Atomic Habits, or you can read you know, the book by all these people to tell you about all the things you shouldn't do. Hey, you want to torpedo your life? Don't make your bed. Don't work hard. You'll get depressed, and you'll get fat, and you'll get sad, and you'll die a lonely, lame, you know, beta male. Okay, fine. Those are great points.
Well, living a self-controlled, gentle life like Jesus did might be a beta thing to the world.
And that's fine, but they can come along and see how good it actually is. Yeah, they can do their thing. But
exactly.
But the world can tell you to stop doing bad things. Hey, you know, I mean, you know how many times I scroll? Okay, so now I'm on a tangent. You know how many times I hate LinkedIn? LinkedIn is the worst.
Awful.
You know how many times you scroll through? It's like, what are the 7 things you need to be successful? I quit drinking alcohol. Okay, fine. I got up. I started getting up at 5 a.m. Okay, great. I make my bed. I go to the gym. I meditate for 15 minutes. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, none of this stuff is like.
What is it?
Like, okay.
Blood infusions from children.
Yeah. What are you going to do on Thursday when you've screwed up again and you've got no hope, no grace, no nothing? And you're like, oh, I guess I can't be, you know, Jocko Willick 2.0. I'm never going to be enough.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be enough.
It's true.
How would we say humility or gentleness and self-control intertwine? So gentleness without self-control becomes people-pleasing. Self-control without gentleness becomes cold rigidity. So together, they can create a presence that is trustworthy, words that are both truthful and kind, and leadership that is both bold and safe, like we just talked with Brett. That got edited out. Wait, I forgot. Sorry, that got edited out.
That's all right.
I just wanted to compliment you. But
please don't.
So
my head doesn't need to be any bigger.
Even if you feel weak, the Spirit is not stopping the work inside of you, and growth happens in our grief and our weakness and our obviously in our obedience. And so the soil of your surrender is not wasted. It takes time. These qualities and fruits of the Spirit take time to grow in us. They're not going to happen overnight, because we're fighting our sin. Like we have explained in the last 8 episodes, our sin has to be fought against. It's a fight. Like Brett said, it's a race. It's a marathon, and a lot of people compare it to. But take hope. The Spirit is working inside of you, and He is faithful to complete that work. So take joy. Take heart.
You know what? There's a proverb that says that a righteous man will get knocked down 7 times. And he'll get back up, or he'll fall 7 times and get back up, or an unrighteous man will fall 1 time and he'll stay there. And I think what you're describing really is being in the fight. You know, understand that this isn't going to happen overnight, and you're going to fall, and you're going to make mistakes. Are you going to get back up? Are you going to stay in the fight? So you just stay in the fight.
Just like a garden, like it has to be cultivated. Yeah. You can't have overgrowing trees, because you have a lot of dead branches, or like you can't have weeds coming up into your garden boxes with your vegetables and your fruit. Like you have to cultivate these things that they keep healthy and that they grow the way that they're supposed to grow.
A good marker for our walk isn't so much am I how successful I am, but am I still in the fight? Am I still striving to go where Christ wants me to go? Am I still striving to be that person he wants me to be?
Mm-hmm. We already read it, but I'll read it again. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So the encouragement we want to give to the listeners is that God gives us self-control.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us love and power. He gives us that spirit. Like, it is a gift. A part of the package of salvation is that gift. So if you have put your trust in Christ and you are walking with him, part of your salvation is the gift that the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. It might not grow as fast as you want. It might not. Again, I think the example of a fruit tree is really good. I'm actually quoting that stat in a sermon that I'm preaching tomorrow. You know how long it takes for an avocado tree to go from seed to mature fruit? 10 to 15 years. Apple tree is 6 to 10. Cherry tree is like 4 to 7. So a fruit tree, by its definition, takes years to mature. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus and the New Testament use that kind of language about bearing fruit, fruit trees, vines. These things happen over time. And I would also even argue that sometimes a fruit tree will have a season where it bears weaker fruit or not as delicious of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes back to the point where you're making, the overarching theme of our you know, deep roots, dark soil. If the soil is lacking nutrition or if the roots aren't very deep, it's going to produce poor fruit. And that can be us, but the good news is the Lord will walk with us even in those seasons. And even when we're not producing great fruit, we know that Philippians 1 says that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. So we can trust that the Lord will continue to be faithful to us, even when we're unfaithful to him, or when we stumble or fall off the path, he will prop us up and bring us back. So what we're trying to say at this point, I think we all are, is we want you to grow. We want you to take hold of it. We want you to take control of it, but not under your own power or under your own discipline, but by the power that God supplies, that you can rest easy knowing that the Lord is backing you and the Lord is giving you everything you need for life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
And take hold of it. And unlike salvation, where I would say we don't earn salvation or we don't work for our salvation, we work with God to grow as followers. And that's not wrong to say. Someone that has put their trust in Christ will walk with the Lord and grow.
Yeah.
So we should take hold to do that.
You kind of took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm a thunder stealer.
No, you're okay. No, I picture us walking in the garden with God, asking, growing, just how it was back in Eden. We walked with God. We talked with God. We did our work to the glory of God. Even now, even in the dark, things are growing. And so keep your eyes focused and on God and asking him to help you with these things. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. Just do it. Humble yourself and just say, God, help me become more like you for the better of other, like for the betterment of others around me and to love you more. Bryce has some announcements for us.
We're done. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
We're done.
We don't have to belabor it.
No, we're done.
We're too self-controlled. All right. We handled it. We stayed tight.
Okay. That's gross. If you're not following us,
that's so gross. Just poured a little Roy into a coffee.
Yeah,
drink it.
Disgusting.
I've been doing it already.
Yeah, he's been doing it
for
a few times. All right, if you're not following us yet, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Wow.
I made that this week. Follow us on all those.
We'll start getting listeners in China.
Cool. Sounds great.
Chinese government.
What?
It'll be Chinese government.
China. We'll probably be on there saying something that's going to get us in trouble because that's what we do. If you guys want to support the show, go ahead and hopefully by the time this episode comes out, OutsiderStudios.com will be up and running. On there, you'll find some membership options, some merch, and find out ways to stay connected to everything that we're doing. We've got
got hats with brims.
Only hat with brims. There are no hat. There are
that
no
was one. Only one season for me.
You can go check out Elect Exiles, which is Brett's podcast. It's got solid theology, clear thinking, and it's definitely worth your time. You can go check out Brandon's Substack, which drops twice a week. I got that now, finally. Mondays and Fridays.
Mondays and Fridays.
On there, you can find out everything. He works out everything on there that we can't fit into an episode. So that's pretty good to check out. He also drops a lot of other pretty sweet stuff on there. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline, so stay tuned, and thank you so much for listening.
It's been Outsiders Podcast. See you next time.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.